Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
Glad to be here, I am.
Oh, I'm so glad you finally got that frog out of your throat.
I do that only because the official trailer popped last night.
Yes, Star Wars, it's the third trailer for Star Wars.
It's billed as the official trailer.
Okay, well, then
the rest were pre-trailers.
All right, well, there you go. And it was loads of fun. Speaking of loads of fun, for the first time, because we've finally been able to get the timing to work out, Andrew Orr is with us. Andrew, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good.
It's cool to have you here. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Andrew, what is wrong with you? He's an awesome guy. Andrew writes for us, and it's just great to have you here.
So yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that it works out that you can join me more in the future.
Yeah, I should be able to.
Awesome. All right. Well, we have a couple topics that I want to make sure that we get through today. So let's start with Project Phoenix or Twitterific 5. And for you listeners that don't know what I'm talking about, Twitterific was one of the most popular Twitter client apps on the Mac for a long time. And then a few years ago, which totally coincided with Twitter changing how they allowed apps to link to their site and to their service, we saw a lot of these Twitter clients kind of fade away. And Twitterific for the Mac was one of them. And so they did a Kickstarter, because it was time, they felt, to get a better Twitter client on the Mac. So that was Project Phoenix, which was the rebirth of Twitterific, and Twitterific 5, which is the culmination of all of that work, was released to the public today. And I've been using it since the early alphas, because I went ahead and just signed up for the Kickstarter, because I just couldn't help myself. So I'm enjoying it, and I can answer questions that you guys might have about the app, but I figured we should probably also talk a little bit about Twitterific and the Twitter client thing in general on the Mac.
Yeah, it's pretty barren. There are a few out there, but there are very few good ones. The only other good one that I've been able to find is Tweetbot.
I knew you were going to say Tweetbot.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only one.
Yeah, and that's what I've been using ever since I switched from Twitterific when support for it was dropped.
Yeah.
I went to Tweetbot. And then I went to Tweetbot on my iPhone so I could have syncing across devices.
Mm-hmm.
And and now that Twitterific is out, Twitterific is back on my iPhone, and I'm loving having the Twitterific experience, even though I have become so hooked on Tweetbot, because that's all I've used for a while now. And what do you think happened? I mean, this whole thing with Twitter clients just dying, do you think it was just the whole thing with the API and having tokens to go with them?
I think so.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, to completely redo your login procedure is a pain.
Yeah, and then expecting your users, if they're not going to use your app anymore, to go in and revoke their token in their account so that someone else can have it. Yeah. To me, that was just Twitter's crappy way of just trying to kill off the client app market without coming right out and saying, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. Back in the day, didn't it happen that all these third-party clients became more popular than Twitter's actual app?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And with good cause.
They probably wanted to get everyone back into their app. to see, you know, their ads or whatever it was.
Right.
Sure. I mean,
does Twitter even have an official app for the Mac?
Probably. It's.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who doesn't know.
Yeah, but see, there, you know, that's kind of telling right there. Hold on, let me do a quick look on the App Store. Twitter.
Yes, they do.
Oh, okay.
And apparently I downloaded it at one point.
Oh, and look, it has 2 stars.
Oh, yeah. 103 ratings, 2 stars. Tweetbot for Twitter.
Which is an editor's choice.
Which is an editor's choice. Let's look at customer ratings. This application summer rating was recently reset.
Huh. I wonder why they did that.
I don't know.
But that's one of the things you can do with the App Store now. Since iOS 11 and macOS High Sierra rolled out, developers now have the ability to reset their ratings, which can be good if you have like just tons of ratings that are not appropriate for the version of the app anymore.
You know, looking at the first page of most helpful, they're all 4- and 5-star ratings.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, Andrew, what's your Twitter client of choice?
Honestly, right now, I'm just sticking to the stock Twitter app. Back in the day, I did used to use TweetDeck.
Uh-huh.
But right now, I'm just sticking to the main one. I don't really have any particular needs when it comes to using Twitter, like managing multiple feeds or accounts, so mm-hmm. I just stick to the main one.
All right. Well, now that we have Twitterific 5 out, are you going to look at changing to that?
Yeah. It looks pretty interesting, so I think I'll download it and check it out.
Cool.
Yeah, the only thing that's holding me back is the price tag.
$19.99.
Yeah.
Yeah. And since I did the Kickstarter for it, I think I paid $30.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Ooh, ouch. Interesting.
That's okay. It's not a new ouch thing because it was me supporting the development of the project.
Right.
And
I mean, that's like the $25 I'm going to give to Zicky Hub.
Yeah. And And it got me access to the app from an alpha state on, and it got me early access to the final build because I've had that for several days now, and you get stickers too.
Cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it
very
was
cool.
Yes, I paid I think $10 more than you will, but it's fine because it was all part of the project, so everyone can have a good Twitter client.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hey, there's something else I want to talk about today, which I think I kind of hinted that with that because I said there were 2 topics.
Yeah.
The second one, this one I find really interesting, and it's something you wrote up, Jeff, and it's how to make a, I'll call it a homegrown surround sound system for your Mac.
That is my pièce de résistance for this month.
Mm-hmm.
Man, when I discovered that, I thought, holy cow, this is so bleeping cool. I've got to let everybody know about it.
Yes. So tell me exactly what you did.
What I did was I had these extra speakers that I'm reviewing, and I was trying to figure out, well, when I'm done reviewing them, can I actually put these to use for anything? Because I've also got my main speakers that are plugged directly into my DisplayPort monitor.
Mm-hmm.
So I started poking around in audio MIDI setup, which I don't use nearly enough, but we've talked about it before as being your master sound panel.
Yep.
Because you can do so much from it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I created an aggregate device, and I added my DisplayPort speakers, I added my 2 Bluetooth speakers, and then I went into the configure speakers option to see how I could route those speakers. And lo and behold, some amazing options appeared.
And that's where the magic began.
Yeah, that's where the magic began. 5.1 surround. If I'd had an extra speaker or two, I could have done a true 5.1 surround system. But even with what I had, I was able to do a quadraphonic system.
That's nice. So quadraphonic meaning four speakers. Each speaker can have an independent audio signal going to it.
Yep. Yep. So now when I watch Avengers Age of Ultron, mm-hmm. and Jarvis and Ultron are talking to each other, their voices surround me.
That's very cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is. I mean, it's. I remember seeing Age of Ultron in the theaters, and I didn't feel the voices around me as strongly as I do with this speaker setup.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, the way you did this, did you have to go out and like get a set of four speakers to set up the surround sound thing?
No. I used speakers that I just had laying around that I was trying to figure out what to do with or who to donate to.
And you ended up donating them to this project.
Uh-huh. And now all I need to do is get a couple of corner shelves to put on my wall behind me, mm-hmm. so I can keep them up there all the time and not have to pull them out and put them where I need them to go.
So now you're doing this with your Mac.
Yes.
And, so this is a surround sound system for when you're watching TV shows or movies on your Mac.
Correct.
So if I were to AirPlay a video to my Apple TV, the sound's going to go with that, right?
Yeah, the sound will go through your Apple TV, and I don't think it will map the same way that it does with my setup.
Okay, so that's the caveat right there. But, yeah. You know, if you have a big display connected to your computer, like in my case, seriously, my display at my desk is bigger than my television.
Yeah, so is mine. I think you've got a 34-inch display. Is that correct?
Yes.
I've got a 32-inch.
Yeah, and I have a 32-inch television.
Yeah. I've got a 27-inch CRT television.
Oh, man, you're rocking old school.
Yeah, well, no, because I never turn it on.
Oh, so
I need to get rid of it. I need to get rid of it so I have more room for Legos.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. So right now you have a big weight to keep desk from moving away.
That's true.
Yeah, but yes, get rid of that old television so that you have room for more Lego.
That's okay. The plan.
So now if I'm going to set this up myself, like I have a couple sets of speakers just sitting around that I'm not using. Mm-hmm. How tough would this be for me to set up? And when I say me, I'm saying it in the sense of the average user.
The average user. Not at all. I give what I think is a pretty good walkthrough of what you need to do. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think the two most difficult parts are, one, finding the Audio MIDI settings app, because Apple hides it in the utilities folder off of applications.
Yep. Most people have no idea that app is there or has been there for years.
And the second is determining which speaker is which if they're both the same and have the same Bluetooth name.
Oh.
Yeah, which will happen. But even that's not that difficult, because within Audio MIDI setup, when you configure your speakers, each channel has its own speaker icon, and if you click on it, it sends the most annoying burst of static to that speaker for about 2 seconds, but that's enough time for you to figure out, okay, this is the left rear channel, this is the right rear channel.
Right. Okay, so it's not difficult to set up then.
No, not at all. The only thing I recommend, because Bluetooth sometimes can lag behind, is make sure you turn on drift correction and set your wired speakers, if you have a pair, to be your clock source.
And that's a matter of checkboxes in Audio MIDI setup.
Checkboxes and a dropdown, yep.
Okay, cool.
So, really quick. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that because this is surround sound, you need a minimum of four speakers, right? Or can you do it with two?
There's also a 2.0 surround sound setup that you can set.
Okay.
But if you have more speakers, of course, it will be better.
The effect gets better. Yep. And I've seen it go all the way up to 7.1 rear surround and octagonal setup, where you've got 8 speakers.
Oh, wow.
So really, it's a matter of how many extra speakers do you have sitting around?
Yeah, it truly is. And I've got another speaker that I could throw into the mix, but it's only available through AirPlay. And I found that with AirPlay speakers, if you disconnect from that speaker, it disappears out of the aggregate device and doesn't come back when you reconnect.
Oh, okay. So don't use AirPlay-only speakers.
No, use Bluetooth or wired speakers.
Okay, good to know. Cool. All right. So, Andrew, are you ready to start digging speakers out of your closet and build a surround sound system on your Mac?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that I want to, but at the same time I don't, because if I do it, I won't have any reason to leave my office ever.
Especially if Apple and the movie studios ever get around to giving us that $30 watch it while it's still in the theater deal.
Yeah. I know some people are freaking out saying, I wouldn't pay $30 to rent a movie at home. You pay a lot more than that to go see it in the theater.
Uh-huh. I totally would. Even if it was just me watching it, I would still do it.
Oh, yeah. You get to control the entire experience.
I get to control the experience. I don't have to deal with idiots talking during the movie.
People that don't know about theater mode on their Apple Watch.
Right, right.
And I have found in some cases the audio that I have at home is better than the experience that I get in theaters.
Well, we've already established that. In my case, it is.
In your case, it definitely is. Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, we are about out of time, so we need to wrap up.
All right.
Andrew, I'm so glad that you're able to join us today. It's always great when I get to bring more of our amazing writing staff in on the show. So thank you for being here.
Yeah, no problem.
And Jeff, thank you for being here as well.
Much fun I had.
my little Padawan. And listeners, I am so glad that you are here. Thanks for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.